Maseches Brachos, Per Gimel Mishnah Dalet, 3-4. The Mishnah continues on with more people who are, to some degree, exempt from saying Kriyat Shema. This is a little different. This Mishnah is talking about the Baal Keri. The Baal Keri is someone who's had a seminal emission. And the Gemara in Bava Kama, Pei Beis, says that Ezra, a sofer, when he came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, was misakin 10 different tikkanos. The most famous, which is this one, is known as Tikkanos Ezra, Ezra's Tikkana, Ezra's decree, which is that someone who's a Baal Keri, that is someone who's had a seminal emission, may not speak words of Torah verbally until after going to the mikvah. Now, a person who's a Baal Keri is Tamei. He's what's called a Rishon L'Tumah, but that's not the problem. Divrei Torah, words of Torah, are not makabel Tumah, they're not affected by Tumah, and therefore, of course, if a person is Tamei, he can learn and speak the words of Torah. Here, Ezra was concerned that Talmidei Chachamim would dedicate too much of their time to intimacy with their wives at the expense of Torah learning, and therefore Ezra instituted something what you might call an economic disincentive. He said that if a person has a seminal emission, whether on purpose or not intentionally, before he learns Torah, he must go to the mikvah. Now, nowadays mikvahs are easily accessible and oftentimes heated, etc. But in yesteryear, it was a disincentive to have to go. Often the mikvahs were inaccessible, difficult to get to, cold, dirty, smelly, etc. And therefore, one would be disinclined to have to go to the mikvah. Now it serves as a disincentive from him over frequently visiting his wife. Because of that, so Tikkanos Ezra says that the one who is a Baal Keri may not recite words of Torah, and that would include reciting Kriyat Shema and certainly saying the brachas around Kriyat Shema. The Mishnah here is going to divide Kriyat Shema into two parts. The Kriyat Shema per se, which is a Doraisa mitzvah, and the blessings around Kriyat Shema, which are just rabbinic derabbanan. And the Mishnah will say, a Baal Keri, if one is a Baal Keri, and he hasn't yet gone to the mikvah, maharher belibo, he should just think the words in his mind. He shouldn't actually speak out the Shema. He should just think the words of Shema in his mind. Ve'inim avarach, and he doesn't make a blessing, lo lefanev, lo lacharach, neither before or after Kriyat Shema. He doesn't even think the words, nothing at all. Now, there is a machlokas in Maseches Brachos, Dav Chaf, whether thinking is like speaking, whether or not hear her k'dibur dami. And Ravina holds that indeed it is. So the idea here would be that while the Baal Keri may not speak orally words of Torah, by thinking the words in his mind, he will still fulfill the mitzvah on some level. However, Rav Chista holds that here we're lav k'dibur dami, that when one thinks without verbalizing words, it doesn't have the same legal ramifications as having actually spoken the words. And therefore, thinking the words of the Kriyat Shema without saying them would not fulfill one's commandment on a level. And Rav Chista's purpose here is just that it's inappropriate that a person should sit around idly while everyone else in Klal Yisrael is saying Kriyat Shema, and he does not do that. So therefore, at least he should think about Kriyat Shema, but he wouldn't be guilty at all. As for the brachos, they're only rabbinic in nature, and therefore, once the person can't speak words of Torah and associated Devarim Sheva Kedusha, other sanctified matters, so he need not, according to the Bar Tanoi, even think about blessings of Kriyat Shema until after he goes to the mikvah. Val Hamazon, as far as food goes, meaning after one eats and he has to bench, so benching is a mitzvah d'oraisa again, and therefore mevarach l'achrav, he does in his mind think the benching, ve'in mevarach l'fanav, but since he did not make blessings before eating food, again, since blessings before food are just rabbinic in nature, he doesn't even think the blessings at all. Now, I explained it according to the Bar Tanura, and that's how the Bavli seems to learn it. The Yerushalmi learns this Mishnah very differently, and the Gra paskins that way. In fact, he learns that the Bavli doesn't disagree. According to the Gra, it's inconceivable. That's not true. Apologies, I can't actually go back on this recording for some reason. I think it's overstating things to say the Gra would find it inconceivable. However, the Gra understands that the rabbis did not, and perhaps would not, have forbidden one from saying Kriyat Shema, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, just because of this extra issue that Ezra wanted to be misaken. And therefore, The Gra learns that, of course, one does say Kriya Shema even as a Baal Keri. It's just the brachas that he wouldn't say because he's a Baal Keri and those are rabbinic in nature. And the same would go for benching. Birkat Mazon is a Doraisa, and therefore, of course, says the Gra, Yerushalmi, one would say it. That's what the Mishnah means. But the mitzvahs, the brachas before eating food are just rabbinic in nature, and therefore one wouldn't say them. So the way that the Gra reads this, the Yerushalmi reads this, is as follows. Baal Keri Mahar Belibo Ve'enu Mavarech Lo Lafanev Lo Lachareah. A Baal Keri just thinks in his heart, meaning in his mind, the words, and doesn't speak them out, Ve'enu Mavarech Lo Lafanev Lo Lachareah, and doesn't actually say the blessings of Kriya Shema out loud, either before or afterwards. But it goes without saying that one would speak the Shema itself out, since that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Baal HaMazon, and similarly when it comes to the Birchat HaMazon, Bevarach La'achrav, one would verbally speak out the benching afterwards, since that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, after eating food. Ve'enu Mevarach La'fanav, but he wouldn't make a bracha beforehand, because of Takanas Ezra, and the blessings before eating food are just rabbinic in nature. That's the Gra reads it, as does the Yerushalmi. I'll come back to Halacha Lamaisa in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the mission finishes by saying Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Mevarach lefneim ulachareim. Rabbi Yehuda says a person can make the blessings before and after Kriya Shema, and it goes without saying Kriya Shema itself, verbally, and same goes with eating food. One says a bracha before and afterwards, even though eating the bracha before food is just rabbinic in nature. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Ezra made his takana, and the mission is assuming that's still in force. However, Rabbi Yehuda understands that Ezra's takana only extended to learning some kind of Torah in depth and not just simply reciting words, and then therefore one wouldn't be restricted in the first place from simply reading the words of Shema, or the brachas. It comes from more intense learning that is restricted until after going to the mikvah. Now, halach lemaisa, we say that takanas Ezra is no longer in effect. The reason why is because it was a takana, it was a decree that the community was unable to stand up to, was too difficult for them, and the rule is that such takana isn't binding anymore, and therefore that is the case nowadays. There are many who are machmir for Takanas Ezra, especially in Eretz Yisrael, but be that as it may, none of those, even the most people who are so careful about being machmir for Takanas Ezra, would use that as a reason to exempt themselves from saying Kriya Shema, which is the mitzvah d'oraisa, or even the mitzvah d'rabbanan of the brachas around Kriya Shema.